Hi, my name is Cami Judd, and I'm here today with Roger Jackson. He's the Financial Technology Coordinator at BYU Idaho and this week's devotional speaker. Thanks for coming in today.
Glad to be here.
In your talk, you mentioned, this is like a funny tidbit, just starting off, but you mentioned a kite being the only entertainment and how it was found over a mile away in one of the like tender mercies or the miracles of life. And I thought it'd be fun to kind of hear about your young married life, as a lot of students here in that phase of life.
Oh, you should really have my wife here for that one. But, well, yeah, we were in college and living on very little, and we had, as an accountant, we had developed a budget for entertainment that was pretty slim, and we spent all of our entertainment money on a kite, and we were out flying it, and the string broke when it was quite a ways up, and I said, well, that's the end of that. My wife said, no, that's we're going to go find that. And I said, you know, it's gone. So we kind of got in the car. We lived sort of out on the edge of town, and we drove out zigzagging through the fields. And at some point, she said a little prayer and said, you know, please help us find this kite. And I was just kind of driving along going, ah, brother. And she said, all of a sudden, she said, stop the car, stop the car. And we were in the middle of a sod field. So everything was green, and the kite was green as well. And she said, stop the car, and she hopped out, and she ran about 200 yards out into this field and picked up the kite. I don't know how she ever saw it. So,
oh, wow.
It was quite a little miracle, really.
Oh, that's super sweet. I just wanted to kind of find out the story behind that. So your talk is titled, Be a Good One. And I love the message that that implies, which is if you're going to do something well. And do it right. You mentioned by doing the right things and by being a good one, that's going to help us truly get through the highs and lows of life instead of just focusing on when things go right, you know. So how can we get through the inevitable lows and keen disappointments in this life?
I guess my talk had kind of two components to it. One was that we need to make sure that we have our testimony is based on the right things. And the other is that, yeah, we're going to have periods where we're not going to feel the spirit as much as we'd like. And I know we should strive to feel it all the time, but in my experience, that doesn't usually happen. So my point there was really that we know the things that we should do. We know what we committed to do. And so it's kind of almost a stubbornness, I guess, that says, hey, you know, this isn't going well right now, but I'm going to keep doing the things that I committed to do that I know I should do. And you know, because that's part of what I did. If for no other reason that you just said you would do it and you have some integrity, you're going to do it. Mm-hmm. And then right along with that, of course, is that you remember the testimony that you, or the times when you felt the Spirit. And so you keep doing the things you know you should. And at some point, you know, on the Lord's timetable, you'll understand why things were the way they were. And I don't know what that timetable is. You know, I'm still waiting on some things. But my experience has been that if you do the things that you committed to do, you know, fulfill your duty, that you will feel better about yourself for having done it. And at some point you will see the blessings that come from doing things the Lord has asked you to do.
I love that. Yeah. Confidence in being obedient is something I think is vital.
Yeah. It's kind of a habit thing. at the very end of my talk, I mentioned the spiritual muscle memory, which, you know, athletes develop. Golfers don't think about every aspect of their swing every time they swing. They do it the way they do it because they've repeated it thousands of times. Not that I'm a good golfer, but the point is that if you don't, you know, you have to establish those habits and do the things, you know, establish the habit of doing the right thing, doing your duty, doing the things that you committed to do, and then that will be more natural in times when maybe it's a little harder to do.
Yeah, definitely. And that kind of leads me into my next question, which is you talk about like we don't get to write that contract. We don't get to maybe make all of the stipulations that are required of us all the time. And how, you know, by doing our duty and by fulfilling those commitments, we also recognize sometimes that maybe we didn't write that up, but we did choose to be obedient. We still have that agency.
Yep. Yeah, I think there's this, you know, there's always, you know, faith is a component of a big component of the church and of our religion and of our relationship with God. And we have to somehow, and this is kind of this, you know, component, I keep repeating the same things, you know, remember, understand, and accept. There is an element of faith. And, that, you know, I suppose a cynic, which I sometimes am, would say, well, you know, as our friend said, well, that's awfully convenient for God. Well, true, but if we're at the point in our experience where we've felt the Spirit, where we've read the Book of Mormon, prayed about it, you know, felt the Spirit testify to us that it's true, then we have to understand and have faith that our Heavenly Father is, you know, all-knowing, that He understands what will be the best thing for us, and that whatever the contract might be, we don't want to say, well, God doesn't bless us, because we all know that's not true, and I mm-hmm. make mention of that in my talk. But we need to understand that we don't get to determine what those blessings are going to be. Yes. And that's, you know, that's where the contract comes in. You know, there is a contract, and we have to have faith that the terms of the contract are favorable to us.
I like that.
Maybe we, you know, we don't see it, we don't know it, but that's where the faith comes in, that the Lord knows what's best for us, and the blessings that He has in store for us that are based on our obedience are the blessings that we most need.
So. Yes, I love that. No, I've seriously loved reading your talk and getting, you know, all of the information out of it. I think it's a topic we don't talk about a lot, which is remaining faithful in trying times. They talk about it like that, but they never kind of explain it in the way that you have. I really, really appreciated the way that kind of goes out, and how we can't really base our testimony on when things go right. Me and my husband always have used the same exact example that you used, which is like Laman and Lemuel. I think a lot of people refer to that as like, they saw an angel, and literally the next verse, like the next thing they do is, but how are we going to do that?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of us do that as well. And like you were saying, but if we base our testimony on our faith and on our what we know, it makes it easier, I guess, to stay faithful.
We are imperfect, and we, you know, we're going to make mistakes, and we're going to, you know, we're not always going to do it the way we want. And I'm a little leery about giving talks, particularly this devotional talk was a concern to me, because I don't like to tell people how to live their lives. I figure I've got enough problems of my own. But I think some of these principles are fairly straightforward and clear, and that is, mm-hmm. make the reference to in my talk about the quote, in times of trouble, don't let the things that you don't understand, mm-hmm. you know, cause you to forget everything that you do know, or roughly paraphrased. And I think that's, you know, that's kind of the Laman and Lemuel thing. They witnessed many miracles, and probably at times, in other examples, recognized that God was out there, but they just couldn't remember those things, and they never really had, you know, they apparently had never really established that a firm testimony of any kind, and so they chose to let their anger, their disappointment, the trials that they were facing overwhelm them, and they forgot whatever little they might have known, and I think that's easy to do. We all tend to live in the moment, and most of the time, that's where the distance provides perspective comment comes in. I have seen that in my own life and in the lives of my children. You know, things look terrible right now, but tomorrow they'll certainly look different, and they likely will look better. Not always, you know. Sometimes it takes a long time to see why things happened the way they did. But the further away you get from something, the more likely you are to look back and say, oh, yeah, that wasn't as terrible as I thought, or I learned something from that. You know, we all know we learn more from our mistakes than we do from our successes. So,
definitely. I think this principle is super helpful for those who maybe are going through a hard time. And I was thinking, I had a thought pop into my head while I was reading the talk, which was sometimes we have to continue to make those choices, even though you've already made the initial choice. I think, for me at least in my life, and for the people I know, sometimes it's not just okay, I'm going to be obedient, and that's the end of that discussion. And so I think this is really important to remember what we know and write down the answers that we've gotten. So when we're frustrated or when we feel like we're still in the middle of it, why can't I just be out of it? We can remember, I already got my answer, instead of continuing to ask for maybe a different answer or a faster answer.
Yeah, that's... In fact, President Eyring refers to that on the discussion board. He responded to a student's comment that, you know, he writes the blessings down in his journal, the things that, you know, when the good things happen, in order to help him remember later on. And I think that's very beneficial, something I should do more of. But yeah, we kind of have to, like I said, in a way, it's kind of a stubbornness that says, you know, I'm not going to let this, dang it, I'm not going to let this change my life, you know, in a bad way. I'm not going to let this setback cause me to make a life-altering decision. Those decisions are better made after some thought and some reflection. And I think, you know, that's something that Laman and Lemuel could have used a little bit of. But
yeah. So if you had one thing to say to the listeners of the devotional today, like one message that they could get out of your talk, can you sum it up for us?
Well, I think it's you know, be careful what you commit to. And when you do commit, you know, commit to good things. And when you do commit, remember why you made the commitment. You know, that was my father's advice, you know, to be a good one was not implying that you had to be the best at anything. You know, I was never a good athlete, but if I signed up for Little League Baseball, mm-hmm. doggone it, I was going to go to the practices and do what needed to be done. Cause that was my father's approach to things. And I think that's what so I guess, you know, summing it up, make good choices, don't make them rashly, and then follow through on them and remember why you made the choices.
I love that. All right. Yep. Thank you so much for coming in.